It's always good to hear that song, Jesus. And that's what it's really all about. That's why we're here. And we want to remember that name. It's a very special name. He is a glorious and beautiful Lord. And He is our Redeemer. And it is by His name alone that we can be saved, that we can have that opportunity to go to the heavenly realm in the after while. In the evenings, we have been looking at religious division and error. And again, this evening, we're going to have a lesson on that very same thing. Just as a review, over the last few weeks, we've talked about baptism not being necessary. That was something that the outside religious world teaches us. Of course, we know that it is necessary. We know that it's necessary because it is the thing that adds us to the church. It is the thing that puts us into Christ. It is that baptism where we come in contact with the blood of Christ, and it's that baptism that is that pinnacle point in time by God's plan that washes away our sins, and also that baptism is that point in which we are saved. Baptism alone does not save us. It is a combination of things that culminates in our baptism in obedience to God's will. We also talked about the fact that man does not speak to God and God does not speak to man apart from the Scriptures. There is really nothing that the Scriptures can't tell us. We are told in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is the one that God has appointed heir of all things, and God has told us that we are to hear His Son. The apostles were revealed all truth through the Holy Spirit that they revealed to us in the written word. And that written word is something that completely furnishes us for every good work. And it's all God breathed. And the written word, it has all that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of God. And then, of course, we have the faith, that faith that belongs to God, that came down from heaven and is printed in this Bible, that, you know, what we call our Bibles. And so it is the gospel of truth, the gospel of faith. And that gospel was once for all delivered to the saints. And we need to contend for that, to fight to keep this pure within the church. In the same kind of manner, we talked about the Spirit of God and that the influence of the Spirit is set to, that people claim that the Spirit has influence on us today in a miraculous way, and yet we're not taught that in the Scriptures, because everything that the Spirit of God has put down in writing through the apostles and the writers of the New Testament, and including the Old Testament, everything is written by the breath of God, and it, through the Bible, through the Word of God, everything that we need is provided. The Bible tells us how to be born of the Word. The Bible tells us about the spiritual birth that we can have. It quickens our hearts. It cleanses our souls. It is to the saving of our souls. We learn that implanted Word that's able to save our souls. The Bible gives us everything we need for justification, for growth, for being fruitful in every good thing and having spiritual strength and sanctification. And so those things that we've talked about, and there's been a couple others that I didn't list here, but tonight I'd like to spend a little time in just a simple, simple lesson that I hope would help you to answer people who say things like, what does your name mean? What does it matter what you name the building, what you name the church? It just simply doesn't make a difference. And yet there is something in name. And there's many today who insist that it is such a little tiny thing, how you call your congregation, what name you use, what you put on the building. They think it means nothing. And they don't have a problem with calling their congregation by any name under the sun. It can be Wesleyan after Charles Wesley. It can be the Presbyterians. It can be Methodist. It can be Apostolic, Pentecostal, Baptist, you just name it, Lutheran, all the different denominational names. And yet they lack one thing. They lack a direct association with the one who owns his church. And so we just want to look at this a little bit and think about, is there really nothing to the name? The name that on everything, it defines the very thing that it wears. For example, if I said Microsoft, and you might right away think of Bill Gates, somebody who has developed tremendous advances in software and computing, and he has billions of dollars in sales, or he did. Or if I say Henry Ford, you might connect that with auto manufacturing and innovation, and he was an industrialist. If I put down here U.S. presidents, power, politics, corruption, and I guess we could fill in the blank there with just about anything, but there's plenty of names to put in there. Or if I just simply said McDonald's, and you're going to think of one of two things. You're going to think of old McDonald's song, or you're going to think of lunch. And that's assuming that you eat at McDonald's. Names are given. They have values. For example, think of this, wise man. What name does that make you, what does that make you think of? And of course the answer would be Solomon. Solomon, he says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. When you think of that, you know, to have a name is so important. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived according to God, he says that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Solomon said a good name is better than precious ointment. And so the name really does have some great value to it. We can't just say, well, what's in a name? And the names are important to God. He chose certain people by certain names. He chose Saul, who was still breathing out threats against the disciples. And that same Saul who stood there and was consenting to the death of Stephen, a part of a great persecution. And then his name eventually, and we don't know exactly how or why or who, but his name was changed in the scriptures to Paul. And that suddenly makes an entirely different kind of a understanding and a different atmosphere when we say Paul instead of Saul. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, different name with a different purpose. Paul, he says, and they glorified God in me, talking in the book of Galatians chapter 1 about his coming together and trying to help preach the gospel which he once sought to destroy. So his name really makes a difference. And what name would you give your child if you were going to have a child today? Would you call that child Jezebel? Would you call your son Ahab? Would you call him Judas? Or, for that matter, would you call him Adolf Hitler, using that particular name? And I realize there could be people in other countries that use these names freely, but with the history behind these names, we probably would shy away from using those names. What we do want to understand when it comes to the name is who owns this congregation, who owns the church universal all throughout the world. And of course the church belongs to Jesus Christ. We know that because in Matthew 16:18 it tells us that Jesus built the church. In Ephesians 5:23 we're told that he is the head of the church, and he purchased that church, Acts 20:28, with his own blood. And we see that the church in Romans 16:16, that church wears his name. And so why would we name the church Lutheran after a man named Luther? Why would we name the church after Charles Wesley? Why would we do that? When Jesus poured out his blood for that church that he said he would build and he's the head of. Some people don't seem to get that. The other aspect there is the church is the bride of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that you that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And I'm not sure about you or anybody else, but my wife wears my name. She's my bride. So her name was Sharon Collins, and now it's Sharon Scarpino. And I hope that she's proud of that name, and I certainly am myself for some reasons. The bride and the groom, it says in Ephesians chapter 5. So does your wife wear your name? And if so, why? And if not, why? Because how would you feel if your wife wore the name of your best friend rather than you? What if one day your wife, you come home and she's sitting at the table and she tells you, listen, Dave, I've thought about this and I've been talking with this really good friend of mine and he's somebody that I work with and I want to change my last name to Richards because I like him a lot. What would you think? And yet so many people today, we know that Jesus Christ built and established the church. We know that he purchased the church with his own blood. We know that he is the groom of the church, which is his bride. And we know that the church was called the churches of Christ in the scriptures through the Spirit of God. Why would we think it's okay if we're not really in favor of having our wife or our husband decide to change name on us because of a relationship with somebody else? Why would we think that's okay in the church? And it's also important to realize that his name has many different aspects or different definitions in prophecy in Isaiah 56 and 5. He was that it's that everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Who's that name? That's the name of Jesus, the Messiah. In Isaiah 62 and at verse 2, they shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will name. I don't think that in the scriptures you can read any place where the mouth of the Lord called the church Baptist. I don't think there's any place in scripture where you can find that the church was called by Jesus Lutheran. I don't think there's anything in the Bible that will tell you that Jesus said that name shall be Catholic. No, that's not there. In Isaiah 65 and at verse 15, Isaiah writes, and call his servants by another name. In other words, they would be called Christians. And that's exactly what took place. And so we see these prophecies. And when we had found him in Acts chapter 11 at verse 26, we had found him. He brought him to Antioch. And so it was for a whole year. They assembled with the church there and taught a great many people. And listen, and the disciples were first called Christians, not Baptists, not Lutherans, not Methodists. You know, so many people, they choose their name and that's fine. But Jesus Christ owns the church and they were called Christians there in Antioch. That is the fulfillment of scripture and it's something that we can't overlook. They, the disciples, were first called Christians there in Antioch. And it didn't stop there. In Acts chapter 26 and at verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Why are they using those names in scriptures and not you almost persuade me to become a Lutheran? You almost persuade me to become a Methodist. You almost persuade me to become an apostolic or a Pentecostal or any other of the 32,000 names. There is something powerful about that name, which we'll speak of here in a minute. If anyone suffers as a Christian, Peter said in chapter 4 and verse 16, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So whether we're suffering or whether we're rejoicing, whether we are being taught and learning in a great and amazing way, the name is Christian. And it does matter. And the name that we put on the building matters. We want to be ready to give an answer to of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. We want to be ready to explain to someone who says the name really doesn't matter. Because it does. And I actually have been part of a congregation that was called a Church of Christ that changed their name to Christian Church. And they did it while I was there. And I am absolutely ashamed because I helped them write a document that convinced the rest of the congregation to change the name. And this was before I actually was a Christian. Amazing how easily it is to be deceived. Jesus' name is a name that's above all names. And the name of Christian, in every way, it embraces or it encompasses everything about our faith. Peter taught that it was the most important name ever in existence. In Acts chapter 4 and at verse 12, Brother Randy mentioned this in his prayer this evening. Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. What name do you think that is? What name? The name is Jesus. The church belongs to Him. And so the name of the church is the Church of Christ. I want you to think that through as we think of the words that are in this song that we sang before the lesson. Jesus' name above all names. Beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Those are all things that describe our Lord and our Savior. Jesus, Lord God Almighty, Wonderful Counselor, Light of the World, Prince of Peace, Hope of Glory, Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God. Again, all names that identify, just like Bill Gates identifies Microsoft, just like Robert F. Kennedy or John F. Kennedy identifies a president of the United States, just like Ronald McDonald identifies hamburgers and French fries. The name above all names, that name of Jesus, is a powerful and amazing name. I'm often just, I stand in awe sometimes of how people can't see just how important that name is. Our God, our Lord, our Savior is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. And we need to depend upon Him and we need to be rejoicing that we have the honor to be called Christians. So how does that happen? Well, when we think about this and the song that we sang, this man of sorrows was also the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb of God who hung upon the cross to take away our sins. He was the Lamb of God that was without sin, who came into the world in order to save sinners like you and like me. Can we avoid using the name of Jesus? Not if you listen to Peter. Because there is no other name, there's no name powerful enough to save us other than the name of Jesus Christ. Is this a simple lesson? Yeah, it is. But is it important? Absolutely. If you are not wearing the name of Christ, you will not be in the house of God that will be raised up into heaven one day in the after while. When Jesus returns down from heaven, you will not be in that number. I'd like to read a scripture as we close from the book of Thessalonians that the Apostle Paul had written. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 8, we read these words that referring to Jesus, in flaming fire. He's going to come with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy to this calling and fruitful, and to fulfill all good pleasure in His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, you and Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. We all have names. I have a name, you have a name. We were raised up with a name. We didn't get to choose that name. Some people have names they're embarrassed with. Some people have names that are extremely hard to say. Some people have names they wish they didn't have. And we may be perfectly happy with the name that we have, but the name we have won't help us to get into heaven in the after while. We need to be wearing another name. We need to be wearing the name Christian. And that happens when we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we confess that He is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. We repent of our sins and we're baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. That's when we're given a new name. We're raised up from that watery grave of baptism to wear this newness of life, this new name, Christian. If you haven't done so, tonight is the most excellent time to do that. And if you have done so and you need to make sure that you need to polish up that name a little bit because you've tarnished it with sin, tonight is the excellent time to do that. So now, the invitation is yours. If you have any need whatsoever, I encourage you strongly to come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.